We'll take your Bibles and be opening up to Philippians chapter 3. Just going to be looking at two verses there this evening. I've always been fond of the writings of Paul and his great encouragement that he would pass down to those that were doing their very best to seek him. And I know many times in my life I've stumbled upon Philippians chapter 3 and verses 12 through 14 and been given so much encouragement from that. And this evening, that's what we'll look at, those couple of verses there, and break that down and offer a quick invitation. I think it's interesting in chapter 3, as it begins, through about verse 6, it speaks about Paul's past standing in his flesh. And it talks about all these great qualifications that he would have, probably many of the qualifications that we would probably desire in our own life in this time, being ones that were filled with knowledge and zeal. And, you know, as we're dealing with, in verse 5, it talks about him being the stock of Israel and all of these different things that would set the children of Israel apart. He would be one of those ones that could be proud and boast about the qualifications that he had in the flesh. And it's interesting, when we get to verse 7 through verse 11, he talks about all of these things being lost and seeking to gain Christ. And I think about all the good qualities that maybe we might have and how we might take courage and comfort in the great qualities that we have. And I would put before us that without Christ, that's all they are, is just good qualities. We're just good people. And Paul desired something better. He desired to know Christ. And I put before us in our lives, that should be the very thing that we desire in our life. And as time goes on, our lives should really be summed up with what we find in verses 12 through 14. And that's that we are pressing. We'll look at that thought this evening. If you will, pay close attention to chapter 3 and verse 12. I'm going to just read these verses. We're going to look at several points from verse 12, verse 13, and verse 14. Verse 12 simply says this again: "Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me." I looked at several aspects of these verses the last few days, and I looked at the idea of already attained and what that means. The idea there would put before us to comprehend, to understand completely. And I think when we relate this to where Paul's at in writing this letter, in particular chapter 3, and when we really zone in and we look at verses 12, what is he talking about there? One of the great ambitions that Paul had, again, was to know Christ. But he hadn't fully reached that yet. The idea there would set before us seize, or to grasp, to lay hold of him. And in Paul's life, that's what he was striving for, to seize, to grasp, and to lay hold of. And he realized he was short of that while in the flesh. The idea there of press on, we're going to come back and look at this, but it's the idea there that we as Christians, too many of us sometimes as Christians, reach the point in our lives where we think we've done enough. It's time for us to sit back and take ease. And we do very little when it comes to the Lord's work. Many of us rest on our past successes and lose our drive for future goals and future victories. We just become content with going the direction that everyone else is going. And that's what that's what's different, and that's what sets Paul aside, and his life becomes something special to us because it's so different than the norm. I think all of us can sympathize with what we find in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 through 14, and it talking about two great ways, and one way was narrow and one way was large, and there are many who are going that way. Paul chose the difficult road, the unpopular road. The idea that we find here in verse 6 concerning zeal, in chapter 3 and verse 6, concerning zeal persecuting the church. I think about who he was and where he's at now in writing this letter to these brethren. Do you think there had to be some pressing in his life? Some hardships that he would have to go through? We know that to be the case because we have letters that talk about the hardships that he endured in being with congregations, and they weren't really sure if Saul was in the background, if Saul was done. So we think about that. We think about the hardships that he would have had to go through and the idea of pressing on. We see it in the pages of his writings. Constantly pressing. Going through the hardships in this life. Verse 13 simply says this, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forget those things which are behind and reach forward to those things which are ahead." Again, I want to talk about the idea of apprehending. I think many of us, as we watch the news and maybe we've watched programs such as Cops or other different things where somebody, or maybe we've seen it play out in real life, where somebody has been arrested, they've been detained, they've been apprehended. The idea again, it's the idea of taking hold, grasping, taking hold of something. And as a Christian, we must ever be mindful of the fact that we have not yet grasped. We've not yet taken hold of. And I think that sometimes slips our minds as we live on this side of eternity. Paul was one that was not going to coast in this life. He wasn't going to coast. He wasn't going to take the easy way. But he would press. And press in such a way that eventually he would grasp. I think it's interesting as well in verse 13, he talks about forgetting those things which are behind. There's a lot of thoughts on that. And, again, you go through man's wisdom and there's a lot of different ideas of what his intent was when he spoke this. Did he completely forget about his former life? Well, how could he speak of himself being the chiefest of sinners if he didn't reflect upon who he once was? As I read that and as I look back on this and think about what he's trying to get at and the intent of his message here in verses 12 through 14, being fully aware of what's before this text and what's after, to my understanding, he's speaking about the very things that would hinder us from this great race. And really, when you get to these verses here, that's really what the idea of a race is, what's being set before us. The idea of pressing, looking to the goal, the prize, those different things. That's what he's speaking about, this race that's put before us. And in order for him to press, in order for him to apprehend, he would have to not let the things of the past be shackled to his legs or his arms. He had to let those things go. How many of us tonight are dealing with past sins in our lives, past shortcomings, and we allow those sins to control us? We allow those shortcomings to be shackled around us, and our race as a Christian has never run to its fullest potential because we're being held back with things in the past. Paul wasn't going to let that happen. What was Paul guilty of? We just read just a second ago. He persecuted the church. But he wasn't going to let that hinder him in his race at this time in his life. The prize is too valuable. Forgetting means not letting the past become a hindrance in your race. Like what's said in scriptures, run your race. Work out your salvation. And although we're collectively in it together, there's an individual aspect as well. And so when we look at this text, and if we're trying to pull application from it for our life, may we grasp what Paul's trying to get at, this idea of not already attaining, not being face to face. He hadn't grasped Jesus yet, and so while he was in the flesh, there was more work to do, and so he chose to press. He chose the harder way. He chose to exert effort in seeking to please his Lord and King. Let us be people that look beyond our past, and for some of us, it's things that we've asked for forgiveness for. But we still beat ourselves up with it. We need to let that go. It's things in the past that we've not been forgiven of. It's time for us to be forgiven of those things. Because again, we can't fully run to our fullest of potential when we have a weight around us. Some of you know Max Tuttle. He's a young guy that I became acquainted with in Bloomington, somebody I think a lot of. And I remember his great disappointment when he tried out for the basketball team and he was cut. It was a great devastation for him. And in the process of things, he ended up being part of the track team. And the coach watched. And the hurdles coach was very interested in his long legs. And he runs track now. As over at his grandparents' house as he came in from a run, and it was interesting to me the effort that he put forth to excel and be all that he could be in those hurdles races. He laid aside junk food. He laid aside a lot of those things which once held him back. And he did so because he had a goal in mind. He had a precious mark in mind. And that's another interesting thing. It's those that run understand what Paul is getting at when he says a mark. I know one of the things I would tell Max all the time, you finish first. He said, Neil, I've got a mark I've got to hit. He wasn't concerned with finishing first. He wanted to finish the race. But there was a mark that was set, a time that he was doing his very best to reach. I wonder for us sometimes as we think about our lives and we think about our race that we are running, as we'll get to in just a second, if we're allowing the things of the past to keep us from our mark, from our goal, and from our prize. I want to read verse 14 and we'll sum it up this evening just very quickly. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Press towards. It just simply means strenuous effort. And I think about that word, and I think about the last time that I was involved in strenuous effort or strenuous work. It's the things that exert us. When the job is done, whatever it is that's before us, if we've exerted ourselves, if we've been involved in strenuous effort, when the job is done, we are wore out. Liken that to your life as a Christian. How much pressing are you doing as a Christian? We press in a lot of different things. I think about some fathers who work 80 hours a week, some even more than that. That's pressing. That's the idea that we find here. It's the idea of strenuous effort. It's countless hours spent on a certain activity. But that's not what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about his race as a Christian. And Paul knew a lot about strenuous effort. Remember what he said in verse 12? Not that I've already attained or am already perfect, but I press on. That's what he's speaking about in verse 14. It's interesting when you look at the idea of goal and mark. I mentioned that just a moment ago. It's the idea when you speak of goal or mark. Some translations say goal, some say mark there. It's the idea of looking for, noticing, keeping one's eye on. Goal is to be arrived at. As I mentioned just a moment ago, I know what Max would say is he would round those corners and he'd finally get in the back stretch. There was always somebody about 70 yards from the finish line, screaming the time. They weren't screaming, finish the race, but they were screaming the time. I think about that, and I liken that to my life as a Christian, the goal or the mark that's set before us. The prize. The interesting thing about races is only, usually anyways, one person gets first prize. And that's good and bad. I remember being in public school and I was the one guy that usually got all the participation awards. Same award that everybody else got. But you felt special with that. It's a different thing when you're able to run a race and finish first. You've pressed. You've looked forward. You've set your marks. You've set your goals. You've forgotten the things which are behind. You've done away with the things that once held you back. And you've excelled and you've won first place. It's a great feeling, isn't it? For those of you that have tasted that, it's a wonderful feeling. I put before us, that's where this race is a little different. We're to run in such a way that we are going to receive first place. But again, it goes back to the glory of God. Everybody that runs, like Paul is talking about here, wins the race. Gains the victory. And I'll tell you, I think about some of the marks that I've set in my life, some of the goals that I've set in my life. In the grand scheme of things, those marks and those goals mean very little. So I put before all of us tonight a mark or a goal that you need to lay before your life is to become a Christian. And if you are a Christian, to do all in your power to live in accordance with God's will and His command for your life. And do so joyfully. And if you do that wholeheartedly, you too will gain the victory. I tell you, when we start thinking about the word press, it's not a popular word in today's society. We want the easy way. We want quick. I was over at City Hill, fixed a fabulous meal, and asked her the question, is this a home cooked meal? She said, well, I added this stuff to it. It was in a nice pot. It tasted very good. But anymore, we go to the store and we buy things that are unprepared, don't we? Because it's quick. It's easy. It's not always the best, but it's quick. And it's easy. The life of a Christian is not easy. It's hard. That's the life that Paul chose. And I pray tonight, if you're not a Christian, that will be the life that you will choose as well. This life will be difficult and hard at times, but it will be filled with great joy as well as a Christian. But the true joy will be experienced, as Paul talks about in this text, when you are face to face and we're able to lay hold of Jesus. Pray that you want that tonight. Pray that that's on your mind. Pray that if you're not right with God, that you'll struggle with that thought tonight. And if you'll submit yourself in humble obedience tonight, and if you make the confession of Jesus, the Son of God, you're willing to change the head of your life, we'll baptize you tonight. But that choice is yours. If you're here in a Christian, you've not been devoted to God as you should, you struggle with your faithfulness, you can make that right as well tonight. Together, as we say, and say.